Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 59, and as you can see and hear, or maybe not see, because it's an audio podcast, but you can hear the flute, which is the call to worship the podcast. That's right, my friends. It is time again to get down on your knees and face the east, or the west, or the north, or the south. It doesn't matter where. And worship the podcast. Hope everybody's doing good. It's Sunday. I usually record these. Sunday's become my day to do this. And just want to report, it is a beautiful, lovely 66 degrees. I don't know if it's spring or autumn. I actually haven't even been out yet. But my phone says it's 66 degrees, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, and it is a very special Sunday here in Los Angeles, California, because we have tonight the Oscars, the Academy Awards. This is, like the Super Bowl in terms of people tuning in. I mean, I don't know what would be bigger. I didn't look that up. It doesn't matter, but it's sort of in the same category. Me personally, I don't really care about it. I didn't want to see that many movies this past year. I think the only one that I can remember right now is Argo, which was really great. But I may tune in later. I'm not like making a thing about it. I used to go to, sometimes I go to a Super Bowl party. I haven't been invited to any. No, it's okay. I don't know anybody who's having a Super Bowl party. And not that I would go. I'm thinking of, here I am. I don't care about it. And I haven't been invited. Well, no one hasn't been invited. You crotchety old guy. You anti-Oscar nominated person. Brando, even back in this early 70s, he actually won the Oscar and turned it down. And sent a Native American woman, who in those days were called Indians. I think that's prior to Native American. You never know what to call people until you say it, and then they get angry and they tell you the new word. And this lady, she went up and declined. I believe she declined the statue and Brando's behalf because of the ill treatment of Native Americans. And I don't know how much good that did for the Native American cause. I don't know if that helped Brando. I mean, Brando, his career seemed to be fine. But he gained an enormous amount of weight. I don't know what that has to do with turning down the statue. Perhaps if he had accepted the Oscar, he would have maintained a reasonable weight. That might have been the case there. And I was just reading about Woody Allen. He only went one time, and that was right after 9/11, to thank the Academy for its support of New York City. But he'll just completely not paying any attention to it. But, that's fine. For people like that, it's fine. But, if I was to be nominated, I would go. I would friggin' go there and prepare a speech because, it's good for business. Yeah, you can't compare art. It's hard to compare art. How are you going to compare one acting role to another or picture to movie to another? Maybe I'll be nominated for Best Podcast when the Academy Awards eventually has that category. All right, enough of that. It's Girl Scout cookie season. I don't think I talked about this last week. I don't think I did. But I meant to. But it seems to be Girl Scout cookie season. You can't go to a supermarket without a gang of Girl Scouts standing in front of the door with at least a couple adults, a mother, one of their mothers, and then Girl Scout leader, And they just run up to you like this little gang of girls. Girl Scout cookies! Girl Scout cookies! And they're so cute. And, you know, who doesn't like Girl Scout cookies? Come on. But I did buy a box. I bought a box. And in the last few years, when I bought boxes from somebody else. And I would actually have her give them to somebody else. But this year, I bought them and I actually ate most of them. But now I'm off sugar for the last week. So that's another story. And but I was talking to one of the Girl Scout adults that run the Girl Scout thing, and go, you know, why does it have to be cookies? Why don't you have like Girl Scout turkey or Girl Scout salad? That sounds a little weird. Girl Scout salad, sorry. You know, but something healthy. Girl Scout, you know, yeah, Girl Scout chicken. Girl Scout tomatoes. I don't know. I guess they wouldn't sell as many, it wouldn't make, they probably, people wouldn't buy as much because everybody loves sugar. You know, even though it's not good for us, we all want it. We all want it. We, you know, and that's that. And, I had something else to say about the Girl Scout cookies. Oh man. I know. I was asking one of the adults, you know, exactly where does this money go? And they were telling me that, you know, some goes, I guess, to the, they have like a central office for Girl Scouts, and some goes to the local troop. And it's used to empower, it's supposed to be, the Girl Scouts is supposed to be to empower the girls so they can become strong, empowered women, which is great, right? So that's why I was thinking about, like, this one lady I know, I haven't run into her this year, but every year she's the type that will bring her daughter's Girl Scout cookies to you. So she's like just going around and selling them for a kid. So how is that empowering? That's not empowering. That kids like that are going to grow up to think that somebody else should do the work for them. Look at me getting in my high Girl Scout cookie horse. All right. Anyway. And then I went to another store last week, and then I already had to explain to somebody. I explained to them I already bought some Girl Scout cookies, and then they came back. Well, you can always buy some more. No! Okay, stop it. I'm not buying any more Girl Scout cookies. All right? Go get empowered somewhere else. How about this? I'm saying no to show you some boundaries. I'm setting a boundary. I'm setting a Girl Scout cookie boundary. All right. New news of the new Facebook news. You know, Facebook is just an ongoing thing because I'm on Facebook checking it every day. And one thing, I have, 1,500 friends in that category somewhere. Most of them I don't know. A lot of it's comedy related. A lot of comedians that we have mutual friends, but we don't know each other personally. And very often what I'll do is if I don't know somebody, like say I'll see a comedian like on Conan or a show like that, and I'm really impressed with their set. So I'll look them up because I want to be connected to them as a friend on Facebook. But I don't like just sending a friend request without sending a little message to say, hey, you know, a great set, you know, on Conan or whatever. And now it seems like I went to do that the other day with somebody, and now they won't. Facebook won't let you send the message, you know, so I just gotta go ahead and send out a request like some kind of stalker. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. I just like being able to give somebody a heads up. Hey, I sent you a request and thought your set was cool. Then another thing, I've been in sort of like a poking contest with a couple of girls. It just seems to be going on and on. I thought I won, and then just when I thought it was over, boom, they come back. And one of them, I couldn't. One of the pokes were stuck. The poke was stuck. Every time I would poke, it would do nothing. I couldn't poke her back, and so I felt bad. Like I could have just left it alone. But first of all, I reported it to Facebook. I actually took the time to say my ability to poke is stuck. Okay. I have a poking disability right now, And I may have to go get a handicap poking placard if this doesn't get cleared up. And then I sent a message to the girl, to one of the girls, this one girl who I don't even know. And I don't even think we've ever had any conversation until now, because I said, hey, I know I've been trying to poke you back, but my poke thing is stuck, and maybe we've over poked. And then she just sent back like, oh yeah, Swiss cheese, LOL. So, but then it's working again. So I poked her back, and then she poked me back. I'm not going to get into a whole. I'm going to at some point. I think I'm going to have to concede and stop, because I don't even understand the point of this whole thing. And then Aaron, my next door neighbor, one of the team of Aaron and Janet, their managers, he's a Facebook friend, and he sends me. I get these all people asking me to like certain pages, and very often it's just like something they're trying to promote. He sent me a, like this building in New York State. Well, like the blah, blah, blah building, a building I never heard of. And it's just like, why would I like that? I don't even understand. How do you like a building? Like, I'm going to become a fan of a building? It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So, I saw something interesting. I was driving down the street. And out here in the valley, well, I probably all over LA, maybe in other parts of the country, they have real estate ads imprinted on bus benches. And they had two benches, and one said something like, make your strongest choice. Your strongest choice. That's kind of a good logo, or a good, whatever you call those things, caption. Your strongest choice for real estate. And then the other one was another guy, two guys. And he said, don't make a move without me. And I thought, that's a little threatening. That's a little, bank robbery-ish. Hey, everybody on the floor, don't make a move without me. Honey, I don't think we should make a move without this guy. I don't know. So, I just wanted to mention that. I hope that was amusing to somebody. Next, my voice is going to crack. My go-to market, go to my go-to market, and I was at the meat/fish department, and I had a question regarding chicken, organic chicken versus regular chicken. And at this particular store, because it's a higher quality store, the regular chicken is is that proper English? Doesn't have any hormones or antibiotics, that kind of thing. But the organic is quite a bit more expensive. I mean, like say $15. Like the regular is like $6-$7 a pound, and the organic is like $15 a pound. So I said to one of the kids that worked there, who's not actually a butcher, but he's sort of like a training. Nice guy, nice kid. And I said, hey, what's the, do you know what the difference is between these two? And he goes, well, I think the organic one is gluten-free. And I go, what are you talking about? All chicken is gluten-free unless it's got breadcrumbs on it. He goes, no, I've been told no one is gluten-free. And so then he went to one of his, the butchers there, and he's, yes, and he says organic chicken gluten free. And the guy looked at him like he's what are you, an idiot? It's got nothing to do with it, gluten free. So I felt bad that the guy kind of looked at him and acted that way towards him. It wasn't that bad. Maybe he kind of deserved it. But it just makes me, gluten free is the new is a newer thing. It's just like there never used to be anything about gluten, and now everybody's so concerned about gluten, and it's to the point where. Some products, like this guy, they could put on the product gluten-free, and people go, oh, it's gluten-free. And people go, oh, it's gluten-free, but that thing is always gluten-free. Oh, man. And then at one point, I'm by the desk manager talking to her. We'll call her Maria. And, I'm friendly with her. I'm friendly with a lot of the employees there. Cordial, friendly. And so she says to me, tell This is a Filipino lady. Let's see, what name should we give her? Maddie. Tell Maddie to let Jill go on a break. So I go, Maddie, you could tell Jill to go on a break. And she goes, what? And I go, Maria told me to tell you to tell Jill that she should go on a break. And she goes, what? And I go, Maria told me to tell you to tell Jill to go on a break. And she was just like, she was dumbfounded. I maybe, you know, in her defense, since I am kind of a funster jokester, maybe she thought I was kidding. I was joking, but, you know, I guess Maria shouldn't have told me. She shouldn't have put it on me. I don't work there. I don't have the employee discount number that they have. They just go up to the register and they go, 6974842. And they get like a 10 or 15% discount. And then I had an incident in the parking lot, which made me think about how it's hard to interpret how the cell phone has made certain situations hard to interpret, that you kind of jump to conclusions sometimes. And this is what happened. I go into my go-to supermarket's parking lot, and I come around, and at the entrance to one of the aisles is a car that's blocking the aisle to get in. And it's kind of half in the aisle and half in the road that goes across the aisle. So there's a guy sitting in his car, and he's using his phone, but he's got it in his hand, so it looks like he's texting or making a notation or something like that. And so I give I thought, like, you know, this guy is kind of like, you know, what is this? You're texting? You're taking up this space? So I gave him a honk, but it wasn't like an aggressive honk. It was just like, eh. Like, you know, I mean, if you're just, in case you forgot, you're kind of in the friggin' middle of everything. And so he kind of, like, sort of knee-jerk backs and goes and points to, like, waiting for a spot that I didn't see that he was waiting for. And then I felt like a jerk. Plus, he was kind of a rough-looking character with, you know, the tattoo, like, you know, kind of a rough-looking dude. So I thought, oh, man, I want to piss this guy off. So I mean, whether he was rough or not, once I realized that he was waiting for a spot right there, I held up my hands and like, oh, I did the oh, I didn't know, sorry. And then it turned out that he parked, and I parked next to him, and then I rolled down my window because he got out of the chair. Out of his car first. And I said, you got a problem? No, I didn't say that. I said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were, you know. He goes, oh, no problem, man. No problem. He was cool. He was cool. But it just made me realize that my first thought was, because so many people are narcissistic and don't care about anybody, and they text while they drive. And I thought, here's a guy that's texting and just clogging up, you know, the parking lot here, like, he doesn't care. And it turned out, no, he was just waiting for the spot to open up, and he was multitasking, which is something that I do at times. I would do that. I might not do it in a situation like that, or I might. But I make a lot of notes on my phone, because I got my iPhone. I got my iPhone on you, baby. That's right. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Oh, and let's see. This could be the last subject. I might have one more after this. Let's just see how this one goes. But I had... this involves AT&T. You know, the never-ending issues with AT&T. Because I'm with them for almost everything. I mean, I've got my cell phone, my landline, my internet. I'm actually wearing AT&T underwear. I'm living at the AT&T apartments. No, that's what's going to happen someday. Everything will just be one company, you know. I had an issue again. I think I told you a couple weeks ago I had an issue with my message indicator on my voicemail on my landline. that it gives you, like, it lets you know that if you have a message, it gives you this sort of stuttering dial tone. And what happened is the stuttering dial tone wouldn't stop stuttering, even when there wasn't any message awaiting. And then I had to call up, and they were able to rectify. Once I called them, they were able to rectify it right there. So I call in, and of course I get the you know, ridiculous voicemail, you know, "Hello, welcome to AT&T. And then he goes like, you know, wants to know the reason. What's the reason for your call? And he starts to give examples. You can say, "I'd like to pay my bill," or "I'd like to have new internet service." And I go like, I mean, do we really need to be given examples? I mean, really? I mean, you're going to take up my time. I'm trying to get through here. You're going to take up my time and give me examples of why, what I can say. Are there people who are calling up and going, "Why am I calling? I forgot why I'm calling. Oh, that's right. I have a problem with my voicemail. Oh, geez." And of course, it never, in a situation like this, like I said, I would like to speak to a live person. And it goes, "I'm sorry, I don't understand. Did you say you want to pay your bill?" "No, I want to speak to a live person." "Are you sure you want to go on the internet?" I always yell at this machine. They're probably recording this. They probably have me on file as some kind of lunatic. I don't care, because it just seems like it's designed to make you nuts. If I say "live person," it should say, "Hold on, we'll get you to a live person." Eventually it does, because you just keep saying it. I've noticed that if you just keep talking like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull, you know, when he was talking to Pesci about, you know, did you F my wife? If you keep doing that, you go, "I can speak live person, live person, live person, live person." Finally, he just goes, "Hold on, I think we need to get a live person here." And so, like I said, I don't know if I told you the reason. This time, my message indicator was not telling me I had messages waiting. So the dial tone was not stuttering. So I call up and I get this guy. And he's serving, of course, he's giving me the serve routine. With that serve thing I've talked about. The fake, courtesy. The fake, sincerity. You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. It's just, anyway. God, what was it? I'm sorry. I got a little confused there for a second. I mean, I was a little, what's the word I'm looking for? I was trying to multitask, and I got distracted. Couldn't think of the word. Distracted. So, I get this guy, and he's serving me, you know. So I'm going, you know, which is fine. I'm dealing with it. And he says, "Okay, let me see about fixing this thing." And so he does something, and he goes, "Okay, I'm going to call," because I was calling for myself. He goes, "I'm going to call your phone, your landline, don't answer it, and see if it works or pick it up." So then I go, "Okay." So the phone rings, and I'll pick it up, and then I pick up the phone, and it's still no stuttering dial tone. So I tell him it's still no stuttering dial tone. I was being okay. I wasn't being mean. And he goes, "Well, okay, I'm going to have to write a ticket." Ticket? Maybe you could pull me over my phone. I'm going to write a ticket and get the repair department on this. And so I just innocently asked, "Okay, but what will he do that's different than what you just did?" Or she, if it's a she. And he goes, "I don't understand your question, sir." I was like, "Really? I mean, you just tried to fix it. I'm just kind of curious, like, if, you know, what they're going to do." And he said, "They're going to go in there with their thing, and they're going to do the thing that they do." And I go, "Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, what else can I do? There's nothing I can do." And he says, "This can take anywhere from 2 hours to, you know, 72 hours. All right, fine, whatever. So I don't hear anything back for a day or so. And then I finally get a message, because I don't get that many messages on my voicemail. I get a message. You know, the stuttering dial tone is on. So, hey, it's working. So, pick it up and listen to the voicemail. Some older lady.
Hello, Al. This is Ruth calling. Just want to know if you're going to be bringing anything over today. Actually, you don't have to bring anything more because we've got enough gifts. And so you could tell Bonnie that, too. And my number is blah, 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 blah.
Now, the weird thing is, I don't know what the heck she's talking about, but she's got my name. She's got the name of a cousin of mine, but it's obviously not my cousin Ruth, because my cousin Ruth is not as old as this woman. And I recognize my cousin Ruth's voice. But she mentions Bonnie, which is my sister, but my sister lives in Michigan. So I know it is some kind of wacky, crazy mix-up here. And, you know, I decide to, you know, call her up, at least to let her know that she's got the wrong number. And I get her, and she goes... And, you know, and she goes, is this Alan Berman? I go, well, yeah, but it's, oh, I guess it's the wrong Alan Berman. So, again, people are looking in the phone book, I guess, or whatever, and going for the wrong Alan Berman. There's another Alan Berman. There used to be one, there was a guy named Alan Berman that was, of course, I go by Al Berman now. And I'm going to, actually, that's going to bring up the thing at the end I will talk about. I go by Al Berman now. And, but back in the 90s, I knew an Alan Berman that was a casting director. And because of him, indirectly, because of somebody looking for him and getting to me, I was able to meet some casting directors, which led to me getting into a film, which led me to joining, being SAG eligible, which led me to being one of the 90% that are unemployed in the business today. Thank you very much, and the SAG, that are SAG members. I figure, okay, my message indicator is working, everything's fine, and then I get a call the next day from a lady from AT&T who tells me that, she wants to know, she said they went in there, she wants to see how it's working, and if I have any problems, please give her a call. And she doesn't leave her number. And I go, that's pretty good. She leaves a message on my landline. Then I think the next day I get a call on my cell, and it's from another lady. And no, maybe it was the same day. She says, we just want to see if, you know, if your voicemail is working. And I asked her if she was the same lady that called me before, and she said, no, she wasn't. The one that left me the voicemail said, if you're still having problems, just unplug it from the jack and wait 5 minutes. Yeah, well, thanks for that advice. But so far, so good. Doing pretty good. And now I brought up, for last but not least from this podcast, I brought up my name. I go by Al Berman. And I've had a couple little kids. One, a daughter of a girl I know, when she was younger, used to call me Owl, O-W-L. And now, this, when I talked about this little boy last week, this boy Ray Ray that moved in the building, that's just, I'm telling you, this kid is just, I've never seen it. Well, he calls me Owl, is what my point is right now. He calls me Owl because that's what he calls me. And this kid's amazing. He's like a little adult who can't speak that well yet. I mean, he's just got the greatest demeanor. I don't think I've ever met a kid with a demeanor like this. I told his parents that. I said to his mother, it's making me want to have a kid, but not really, because I like the fact that, you know, I get to play with him and I get to leave. But he calls me Owl. And I was thinking about, at one point, this lady whose other kid called me Owl, or maybe, no, somebody else said, you know, you should consider calling yourself that for comedy. And I go, you know, that's one of those weird, I considered it, to tell you the truth. I really did, but it didn't sit right. I'm going to be called Owl, the Owl. I'm going to come out and people are going to go, ooh, 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 ooh. I don't know, maybe I'll make a fortune doing that. But I might change my mind, but right now I'm not going to be Owl. But I thought about, it might just be Owl Berman. Oh, God. Wow, this is a long one. Okay, long podcast. Okay, anyway, I want to thank you all for whoever's listening. to this podcast. Please keep listening. Please tell whoever, if you're so inclined, to tune in to my podcast. And until next time, this is Al Berman live from the studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.